The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. We want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
Special day for moms. I sent my mom some flowers early. They arrived yesterday. Actually, I only sent them early because I was kind of freaked out. I had never actually done this thing where you go online and you order flowers. I usually hand deliver my flowers, being the gentleman that I am, right? But my mom lives so far away, so I had these delivered by a company. And so I was like, concerned that they were going to get there and that they were going to be just the bouquet I had ordered. Has anybody ever ordered flowers online? There is so many options. I was blown away. I'm like, let's see. I love my mom enough to spend $75 on a flower. I don't know if I love her enough to spend $120, though. So I'm like, I remember that time mom spanked me for something my brother did. Yeah, $75 ought to do it. No, but I'm just kidding. That's cruel. No. I won't tell you how much I spent, but it ended up being way more than $70. I got a phone call because, dummy me, there's a number that you're supposed to enter for when the flowers are delivered or when they're trying to deliver the flowers. And so instead of putting my mom's number on there, which would have been smart, I put my number on there. So this guy called me like 3 or 4 times, and every time he called, I got a missed call from him. I'm like, oh, that's the delivery guy. I better check my, call him back. And so he would call me and say, okay, is it okay if we do this instead of this? And I'm like, okay, that's fine, And he's like, okay, so the address is this, but I'm only seeing this. And I'm like, okay, go up there. So I'm like giving this guy directions and everything. But finally, the flowers arrived, and my mom called me and sent me a photo of them. Actually, like 3 photos. I don't know why she thought I wanted to see every angle of the flowers, but she did that. Plus, when my mom started texting, everything changed in my life. It used to be phone calls, and now it's like phone calls plus text. And so so grateful for my mom and grateful for moms all over. There's so many moms that give and work so hard and are sleep deprived. And, they're just the give till it hurts kind of mom. And it just seems like it's a pretty thankless job at times, right? I mean, moms don't always have people coming up to them and thanking them for getting their kids up out of bed and onto to school on time, right? You don't get thanked for things like making sure that the dinner's ready and on the table. I mean, it's kind of like feeding the dog, right? I mean, these kids just come in, they're all hungry, right? They just gather around the table, they start eating, well, let's pray, right? But a thank you, it's kind of rare that you would get a thank you. So today from Remnant Church, we want to say thank you to moms for everything you do, all the stuff that goes unappreciated. And by the way, you have someone to thank too, a lady named Anna Jarvis, who first suggested the national observance of an annual day honoring all mothers. She loved her own mom so dearly that she decided there needed to be a special day that recognized mothers, and they had a special service on May 10th, 1908. I'm not sure where that service took place, but at the service, they passed out carnations, and so that's something that still happens today. And then in 1914, Woodrow Wilson proclaimed the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day, and so it became an official holiday, and we still do the carnations. I was reading here, it says that the carnations, if it's a white carnation, it's to honor dearly departed mothers, and if it's a red, it honors those mothers that are still living. So make sure you don't give your mom a red carnation because it might mean something like, I don't know what that means exactly. What? White. Okay, yeah. So make sure you give her red. Yes. Did you get a white one? Okay. Just making sure. So we didn't know there was a difference in the colors. I didn't know that. And so now we have pink. So it's like if you're not really sure, Is it red or white? Okay, we'll do pink just to be on the safe side. But it is very cool that our country does honor mothers, and not just here. I mean, it happens all over the place. I went to go to dinner one night. I actually had a board meeting at a restaurant on a Tuesday night, and we arrived at the restaurant and could not even get in the door. And I'm like, what happened? You know, why is there so many people here? And it was Mexican Mother's Day. I had no idea. And so ever since then, I'm like, okay, I'm going to put that on my calendar because now my son's bilingual. So we got to celebrate Mexican Mother's Day and Mother's Day. So, all right. Well, today's message is mom's battle plan. So like Jerry said, we're going to teach mom some self-defense moves. So I need a volunteer to, I'm just kidding. But some of you are like, yes, I need that. I have a teenage son and I want to put him in a headlock. So moms, you've got to have a battle plan, okay? Let's just put that out there, okay? Because let's face it, okay? Moms, is your job easy? You better say no, because, I mean, you make it look easy, like the video said. You make it look easy, but it's not easy. And like anything, I mean, it's an uphill battle sometimes to be a mom, and not just be a mom, but be the right kind of mom, and do all the right things, and then still be very present and be there with your kids and be there for them. And it's like moms have to have like this incredible emotional capacity that maybe other members of the family don't have to have. Like dads, you know, we get home from work and we're like, kids crying, like, what happened? You know, mom's comforting and we're just like, look, tears, baby crying, right? So moms have to have like this special thing about them that makes them aware of everything that's going on. I was talking to my wife about this just last night, and I told her, okay, if a mom's life, if they made a mom's life, average mom's life, into a movie, would it be a chick flick? My wife's like, no. I'm like, would it be a comedy? She's like, there might be some comedic elements, but she thought it would be more like an action adventure if it was actual, you know, it'd be like, and mom would be like the star, she would be like the superhero of this action movie. Matter of fact, if they made a trailer for this movie, it might look something like this. Check this out. There you go. Does that look like a mom's typical day? That's a little more realistic, right? Seems dramatized, but really it's not. You got to be at our house to know that that's not. Three of those things happened this morning, I'm just telling you. Actually, you know what? Here's an interesting thing that happened. Debbie's sister-in-law, our sister-in-law, Meg, living up in Brawley, she had called up Debbie and was like, hey, can the kids stay the night? My wife is just like, you don't ever have to ask that question. You just come pick them up and take them, right? And so the kids stayed the night over in Brawley, and so that was pretty sweet. It just so happened to be the night where I'm having to study, so... Yeah, Debbie was like, meet you in bed, right? And I'm like, I got a lot of studying to do. She's like, the kids aren't home. But I'm telling you guys, I had my duty to perform here. TMI, yes. When you have kids and they're just like constantly around, constantly there, it's like every second you get to yourself is a beautiful moment. And so, so moms, we know. What life is like. We know how tough it is to be a mom and how tough you have to be a mom. And so, trust me, I think action-adventure when I think of what a mom has to go through and what a mom has to do. So let's talk about mom's battle plan, shall we? What kind of a plan of attack is mom going to adopt if she's going to be the kind of mom that God's calling her to be? So that's kind of our theme today. A godly mom has to have a battle plan if she's going to be the woman that God has called her to be in the home. So you don't want to go into this thing unprepared, okay? Now, for the most part, there's not a whole lot of preparation that the world offers to moms when it comes to motherhood, right? It's not like you can take like a college course on how to be a mom. Well, can you? Actually, maybe you can. I don't know, but... It just sounds like that would be a really expensive thing on top of all the other expenses involved with being a mom. But it's like there's not this preparation process for becoming a mom. It's like you just kind of get thrown into it. And you're like, okay, I'm a mom. Now I have to figure out how to be a mom. And sure, you've had an example, and maybe you've had an awesome example, and so that might make it a little bit easier, but maybe you didn't have a great example of a mom. Or maybe you had an absent mom, or maybe just, you know, you got surprised with motherhood, and you're just like, I'm not ready for this, and you're like a year or two into this, and you're like, I feel like I don't know what I'm doing. So we have to have a battle plan, moms, if we're going to really do what God's called us to do. So that's what we're going to be talking about. So I'm actually going to take three different moms that were told about in the Bible, and we'll talk about these specific instances in their life and what we can learn from that. So we're going to start out with Moses' mom in Exodus chapter 2. We'll be reading verses 1 and 3. We're just going to, 1 through 3, we'll talk about this one incident that happened in the life of Moses' mom. So just a little background. The Israelites were in captivity in Egypt, and they did this thing where they were trying to limit the growth rate of the Hebrew nation. And so the Egyptians had declared that all these newborn baby boys had to die. And so, terrible thing, terrible moment in the history of not only the Hebrew people, but I think even Egyptian history, horrifying moment. And so you have this mom who has given birth to this little boy, whose name is not Moses, by the way, not yet anyway. And she's like, I got to protect my kid, and I have to do something about this. And so it says in Exodus 2, 1 through 3, a man from the family of Levi married a Levite woman. The woman conceived and had a son, and she saw there was something special about him and hid him. She hid him for 3 months. And when she couldn't hide him any longer, she got a little basket made of papyrus and waterproofed it with tar and pitch and placed the child in it. And then she set it afloat in the reeds at the edge of the Nile. Now think about this scary, scary thing that this mom is doing. I mean, imagine how desperate she was to protect her child to do this. Josiah and Jedediah were swimming yesterday. They weren't even actually swimming. Someone had rented a water slide, and there was, you know, this pool of water at the bottom of it, and there was, like, this kiddie pool off to the side. And it's like every time Jedediah got into the kiddie pool, I was just like, okay, buddy, take it easy in there. Watch out for the waves, right? I'm just like, you know, I don't want... And of course, he's kind of fascinated with being underwater right now. So when he sees water, he's just like, I wonder what it's like to be underneath that. And so a couple times he got under the water, and then I had to run over and, like, pull him back up. And I'm just like, buddy, you're really scaring me. And so I can just imagine, I mean, that, and I'm a dad, right? And if that scares me, I can imagine what that does to the heart of a mom to be able to worry and be so concerned. And so here's the situation. She, in order to protect her child, she sets him afloat in the Nile River. And it's crazy. And if you read the whole story, there's some more details that might maybe bring a little more comfort to your heart, because Moses' sister is assigned the job of keeping an eye on the basket and making sure that nothing happens to it. And so she's in hiding, kind of watching Moses as he's in his little boat. And but here's the point that I really want us to get to. I don't want to tell the whole story of Moses' life, but I want to focus in on the fact that Moses' mom loved her child so much that she had to do something to protect him. And so the first thing that I want us to take with us, moms, is that a godly mom is protective. A godly mom is protective. Now, before we go any further, you might be thinking, we're going to be talking a lot about moms, and so this is going to be, you know, maybe if you're a dad or if you're not a mom yet, you can just kind of tune it out and be like, okay, I'll do something else. I'll think about other things. But here's the thing. Every single one of us is touched by the life of a mom. If you are not a mom right now, then you may be a mom, or you may be very close to a mom. And if you're a guy who's not married, you eventually are going to marry a woman who is going to be a mom. And so in some way, this is going to touch your life. And so women, we need to understand that a godly mom is protective. See, a godly mom places her family's welfare above her own. I saw my mom do this time and time again. I see my wife do this time and time again, where even though she's sleep-deprived and just had the craziest week, she still makes sacrifices and still does what's necessary to make sure that our kids have a safe place to be. And so a godly mom is protective. I love Proverbs 31, and if you're a woman, that should be like pretty much your favorite chapter, and also your most, your least favorite chapter in the Bible, because it tells you so much about what a woman should be like by God's standards, but then also it tells you what a woman should be like by God's standards. And so that could be really good or it can be really bad depending on where you're at in your life. And so you may read Psalm or Proverbs 31 and be like, oh man, I can never measure up. Or you may read Proverbs 31 and say, I've got some things to live up to. And so Proverbs 31, 27 and 28 says this, she keeps an eye on everyone in her household, keeps them all busy and productive. Her children respect and bless her. Her husband joins in with words of praise. Here's the thing about moms. Moms are attentive to what's going on in their home, and they're constantly aware of danger. They're constantly aware of what's happening, and so they keep the home operating, but at the same time, they're also aware of anything that might attack the home. And the Bible says here that children, even though they don't show the respect maybe at the time, and husbands may seem unappreciative, the fact is that this is something that raises moms up in honor when they're the kind of godly mom that's modeled in these verses. So I was reading Calvin and Hobbes. You ever read Calvin and Hobbes? And there was this one scene that kind of stands out. It's where Calvin's mom is sitting in the living room. She's just in her favorite chair reading a newspaper or something. And Calvin enters the room, and he's got like a box on his head that he's cut out to look like a helmet. And he's got this long flowing cape that he's wearing. And in one hand, he's got a baseball bat. In the other hand, he's got a flashlight. And he just comes like running through the living room. And she's like, Calvin, what's up? And he's like, nothing so far. And she says, so far? And he says, well, you know, something could happen today. And then he kind of marches off. And as he's leaving the room, he says, and if anything does happen, by golly, I'm going to be ready for it. And then the mom looks at the reader, right? And she says, I need one of those suits. She wants to be ready for whatever happens in her day. But it seems like no matter how much you prepare and how much how ready you try to be for the day, there's always surprises. But I believe if a mom is going to really model this idea of being a protective mom, being a mom that's aware of danger, she's going to need God's help. She's going to need to be a mom that's committed to God and has a deep relationship with him so that God can even make her aware of those moments where she needs to step in. See, God honors a mom who looks after her family, and the world takes notice of her. So moms get honor from two different sides here. God honors the mom that does this, but also the world honors a mom that does this. And this is kind of crazy to think about because the world's standards are so different from us as followers of Jesus. Am I right? They have completely different standards. But when it comes to this idea of a mom being protective of their family, this is something that everybody acknowledges as being good. It's something that everybody looks up to. And moms, as followers of Jesus, we need to set the standard in our homes and in our communities, in our extended family, and be the kind of moms that model this. I remember times where my mom stepped in to my defense. I remember moments where I had got myself into trouble or I had done something or I was headed in a direction that was not good. And sometimes a mom protecting her family doesn't just mean that a mom has to like gear up and get ready to fight somebody, right? It might mean that mom has to enact a little bit of discipline on one of the kids, because in the process of protecting our children, sometimes we have to discipline them, right? And if you're in my house, it's not just sometimes, it's most of the time. I mean, kids need direction, but if we refuse to discipline them, if we refuse to give them the correction that they need, we are not loving them. We're not protecting them. We're actually setting them up for danger. We're setting them up for calamity in life. And so being protective of your family is so much more than just making sure that everything's ship-shaped, but it's actually a part of that process of preparing your kids for life and everything that's going to throw at them. So moms, you get big, big respect for being a godly mom that protects her family. Matter of fact, Proverbs 11:16 says, a gracious woman gains respect. And this is the kind of mom that God is calling each one of you to be. Let's look at another mom. 1 Samuel chapter 1, we come across a mom named Hannah. And let me give you a little background on Hannah. Hannah had been praying that that God would give her a child, and she was barren. She was not able to have children. And as she's praying and asking God, as a matter of fact, one time she's in the temple and she's praying, and she's praying, you know, to herself, not out loud, so her lips are just moving. And the priest comes in and sees this lady, and he's like, oh, something's wrong with this lady. She's talking to herself, right? I always thought that story was kind of weird, because I'm like, it would have been pretty obvious that she was praying, but anyway, that was just his assumption. Maybe she was using hand gestures too or something, but here she is pouring her heart out to God, and so she's been pleading with God to give her a son. And in verse 10 of 1 Samuel 1, it says, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. So Hannah, even before God has even blessed her with a son, she's already made plans to dedicate him to God. She's already made plans that if God would give her a child, that this child is going to be God's and going to serve God. And then it goes on. Hannah has the baby, has this little boy. And it says in verse 24, after he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was. They brought the boy to Eli, that's the priest, and she said to him, as surely as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. She's kind of like, remember me? You thought I was psycho? Yeah. She's like, I was the woman that stood there beside you praying, and I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. And so now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life, he will be given over to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. And so Hannah does this incredibly devoted and dedicated thing and takes her child and says, presents him to the priest and says, here's my son. He is going to be dedicated to the Lord. And from that moment on, Samuel is there serving in the temple, and he's doing things in the house of the Lord. Think about what it takes for a mom who maybe doesn't even have kids yet, but is thinking about her unborn child. Think of what it takes for that mom to say, I am going to fully dedicate this child to God. Now, we do baby dedications here at Remnant. Baby dedications happen at churches all the time, and we always say when we dedicate children that it's more of a dedication of the families. It's more of a dedication of the parents than it is of the child, because, I mean, truth is, the child has no clue what's going on, right? Not going to remember that moment, probably. But so it's a dedication of the family, and so it takes a family who is committed and dedicated to say, I want my children to serve God. I want my children to live for him. And that's what brings us to the second point that I want you to take with you. A godly mom is spiritually focused. A godly mom is spiritually focused. Now, let me just say there are a lot of other things for moms to focus on. There's a lot going on in the life of a mom. There's a lot going on in the life of anyone. But truthfully, for a mom to be spiritually focused, to have this, this plan that is not a physical and it's not an emotional thing, but it's a spiritual thing where she is looking after the spiritual welfare of the people that God has given her to watch over. That takes a special woman to do that. A godly mom is spiritually focused. And like I said, there's so many other things to be focused on, and there's a lot of good things out there, but for a mom to be able to make God her priority, that's a big deal. What does that mean exactly? For a mom to be spiritually focused. Well, a godly mom prays for and commits her family to God. A godly mom prays for and commits her family to God. Now, this is a big undertaking. I'm not going to stand up here and say this is easy for moms to have a spiritual focus in the home. But I will say this, okay? The temptation might be for you to say, well, I want to have a little bit of spiritual influence, but I'm super busy. I've got a lot going on, and so I can't always, you know, be having Bible studies at home and be doing all these things that are spiritually focused. There's just so much other stuff going on in my life as a mom. And so you might think that maybe you're too busy to be the spiritually focused mom that God wants you to be. Well, I want you to consider this example. There was a woman named Susanna Wesley. Susanna Wesley had 17 kids. Talk about a busy mom. 17 kids, can you imagine? I mean, how would you even do that? That would be like being the owner of a zoo, right? But here's the thing. What Susanna was most known for was being a mom that invested personally in each one of her kids to make sure that they were on the right spiritual path. And so she would take time out of her day, every day, to pray with her kids and to walk them through a passage of scripture and to give them something so that they can just take it into their day with them. She was very, very intentional about spending time with her kids, praying and studying the Word of God. And you may have heard of a couple of her kids, Charles Wesley and John Wesley. Charles Wesley became one of the greatest evangelists of all time. And John Wesley became one of the greatest Christian songwriters of all time. And we're talking, this is back in the day. These guys kind of set the benchmark for what it was to be in Christian service, to be ministers of the gospel. And they came out of a family that had a mom who was spiritually focused. And so here's the deal. You may say to yourself, I'm really busy. You may say, there's a lot of stuff going on. But the truth is, if you want to have a family that is going to go on, especially your kids going on to raise families of their own, and you want those families to be dedicated to God, and you want your kids to live a life that brings honor to Jesus, this is a must. This is a must, Mom. We have to have a spiritual focus in the home. Matter of fact, the scriptures encourages us to do that. All of us. Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Devote yourself to prayer. That's interesting wording, because when I think of prayer, I think of something that we do when we need to do it, or something that we do at specific times. So to devote yourself to something, I mean, what does that mean? That means that you've actually prioritized your life to where prayer becomes something that is very important to you. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, be unceasing in prayer, or praying perseveringly. We've talked about this before, just having a regular conversation with God, an open-ended conversation with God that never ends. That's what it's like to pray without ceasing. I was intimidated by this idea of praying nonstop. And I'm like, God, is that even possible for someone to pray nonstop? And I'm like, wait a second, I'm asking God a question. I'm praying, yeah. So I started to figure this out, that you can have a prayer life that is not just something you do in the mornings, kneeling by your bedside. You can have a prayer life that's not just something you do when you're in a worship service, or when something bad happens in your life and you run to God because you need help. You can have a prayer life that is a constant communication with a Father that cares deeply for you and wants to see you succeed in life. You can have a running conversation with that God, the God that created you, the God that crafted you, that designed you specifically for the life that he's given you to live. God says, at all times, I'm available. I'm listening. And to pray without ceasing means to have like this regular rhythm of prayer in your life. I kind of think of it as a cadence, you know, like a march. There's like this constant rhythm of prayer. That's what it means to pray without ceasing. So it doesn't matter if you're standing in line at the supermarket. It doesn't matter if you're headed off to a soccer game. It doesn't matter if you're headed off to pay the water bill because they're going to shut your water off, right? I mean, it's like wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, you're having a conversation with God. You're bringing your problems, your things before God. You're bringing your kids before God. See, a mom who is well-grounded in her faith sets the spiritual temperature in the home. Now, I would love to say, and dads, you know, we're going to be talking about fathers on Father's Day, most likely. Seems like a popular subject. But here's the thing. Moms, who spends the most time, personal contact, with family, with kids. Think about the influence that you have in your family just by proximity and exposure to your family. Think about the influence that you have. And then ask yourself, am I setting the spiritual temperature in my home? Am I setting the standard for what our home atmosphere is like? And then ask yourself this question. Is it a temperature? Is it an atmosphere that is pleasing to God? Is it one that's busy and frustrated and always moving? Is it something that's focused on the secular and the worldly? You have to ask yourself what kind of temperature, what kind of atmosphere you're creating in your own home. Because as godly moms, our job is to set that spiritual temperature and make sure that we're spiritually focused in the home. Now, I want to draw your attention to another mom, actually a mom and a grandma in the Bible. So 1 Timothy 1, we're looking at verse 5 now. Now, this is Paul, the apostle, writing to Timothy, and he says this. He says, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Now, what's he saying to Timothy? Here's this young man who Paul is, he's kind of in training to be a pastor. He's in training to be in the Lord's service, and Paul says, hey, Timothy, I recognize something about you. That spiritual quality that you have about you, that devotion to God, he's like, you didn't get that from yourself. He's like, I know where you got that from. Your grandmother, Lois, was a grandmother who was dedicated and committed to God. And you know what she did? She passed her faith right on down to her daughter. And your mom, Eunice, she was just like your grandma. She was spiritually devoted, and she was committed to God. And you know what she did? She transferred her faith on to you. Now, this is not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that you can make your kids have faith in God. Okay, you can't force your kids to have faith in God. You can't sit your kids down one day, sit them all down around the table and say, okay, guys, you are going to be completely devoted to God, and you are going to have the strongest faith in Him, right? Ready, break. Good talk, right? That's not what I'm saying, but what I am saying, since you can't physically be with them at all times and be watching them, you have this incredible ability to influence the path they take. And you do that by their exposure to God and to the things of God, to His Word. And you do that by modeling what it means to have faith, modeling what it means to operate under pressure with grace, to model what it means to love unconditionally, to love someone deeply, that even when they make mistakes, you still love them and you're still there for them. You have that ability to have that kind of influence. And I'm pretty sure that that's what Paul was talking about. He was saying, Timothy, your grandma was a woman of faith, and she passed that on to your mom, and your mom was a woman of faith, and she passed that right on to you. Wouldn't it be awesome for your kids and your grandkids, for people to look at them and say, I know why they turned out the way they did. I know why they ended up going the direction they went. It's because of the influence of this godly woman in their life. Wouldn't that be amazing? I love how it says it in the Message. It says, and what a rich faith it is, handed down from your grandmother Lois to your mother Eunice and now to you. I mean, think about it. If there's one thing you want to pass on to your kids, if there's one heirloom that you want to be in the family and continue, shouldn't it be your faith? Shouldn't it be your strong devotion to God? Because my friends, the times, the culture, the world around you is going to constantly change. But if you have a faith that's persistent and consistent, that's something that never changes. And so no matter what kind of chaos is happening in the world around you, you will always be steadily fixed on the Lord. And that's what I desire for my family. That's what my wife is doing in our home. And so I challenge you to do that. So this is the last point that I want to leave with you. A godly mom is intentional. A godly mom is intentional. In other words, mom, just don't just sit there and let it happen. I know that that could be pretty tempting to do on some days, to just sit there and just let life go for it and just be like, oh yeah, I'm sitting this one out, right? But a godly mom is intentional. A godly mom has a plan, has a battle plan. A godly mom is devoted and has the plans to pass her faith on to her kids so that they can live out a life that's devoted to God. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7 says this: write these commandments that I've given you today on your hearts. Get them inside of you and get them inside your children. Talk about them wherever you are, sitting at home or walking in the street. Talk about them from the time you get up in the morning to when you fall into bed at night. What is this saying? It's basically saying, just inundate your life in God's word and in his presence. Allow God to have a very real presence in your home. Talk about God with your kids. Read your Bible with your kids. Pray with your kids. Show your kids how the decisions you make on a regular basis are based on what you learned in God's word. That would be a huge game changer for some of us, right? To model what it means to make godly decisions and choices in life. And then to come back to your kids and say, do you know why I decided to do that? Do you know why that went that way? And you can tell them, I got that from God. This is how God wants us to live, and that's why we made that decision. That's why we're doing things this way. Explain it to them. Don't just do it. Tell them why it is that you're doing it. That's what it means to be intentional. A godly mom is intentional about passing her faith on to her family. Ephesians 6:4 says this: parents, don't be hard on your children. Raise them properly, teach them, and instruct them about the Lord. So don't just beat your kids up, right? I'm not saying talking about physically either. I mean, don't do that, obviously. But I mean, don't be hard on your kids and say, you're always messing up. Love them. Care for them. Cause them to want to make the right choices, the right decisions based on the way you live your life. Teach them and instruct them about the Lord. Let God be very much a part of this child-rearing process. That's what it means to be intentional. Here's the thing, and I mean this in all seriousness. If you're not careful to shape your child's belief system, someone else will be happy to do it for you. Are you guys listening to me on this one? If you're not the one that is directing your child's life, if you're not the one that is helping shape what they believe and what their values are, somebody else is very happy to step in and do it for you. And you're not going to like what they have to say. You're not going to like the directions they want to give. This culture that we live in, that we're a part of, that we're exposed to, that we have no choice to be a part of because it's the world we live in, they have a very different plan for how your child's life should turn out. They have a very different plan than you do for what your child's interest should be, for what their focus should be. And so we have no one to blame but ourselves if we don't influence our child's beliefs and their faith. There's we can't point the finger. We can't say, oh, it was that teacher at school that made them start thinking these weird thoughts and headed that direction. Or we can't say, oh, they were just watching TV, they were watching too much and getting all these crazy ideas, right? We can't blame it on other influences. We have to say, accept responsibility and say, I'm the one that decides what my kids are going to be exposed to, that decides what my family's going to be like. And we have to be intentional about that. Don't let the world raise your kids. Don't let our culture be the greatest influence in your son or daughter's life. They're too precious. They're way too valuable. God cares too deeply for them for us to just take the back seat and just let everybody else teach them. When I was a youth pastor years ago, I, actually youth pastored right here in this church for 13 years in the same church. And I had a constant conversation with parents. And parents would come to me and they would say, you know, my kid's messing up. What are you teaching them? My kid's, you know, making bad decisions. What are you telling them over there? What kind of influence are you being on them? And I'm like, hold on a second here. There should be two major influences in this child's life, mom and dad. Then there's a secondary influence that comes along and tries to support everything good that you're doing in their life, and that's my job. Don't expect someone else to raise your kids for you. Don't expect someone else to have more godly influence over your child than you do. That's your job. That's your God-given responsibility. And whether you want to accept it or not, I mean, here's the thing. That influence is going to come from somewhere. Let me just leave you with this statement. Parents, you have a unique, God-given responsibility to look after the physical, emotional, and spiritual welfare of your family. I know we're talking a lot about moms, but I mean, this is a team effort here. That's our responsibility, to provide that care, that physical, emotional, and spiritual care. What happens if you don't provide physical care for your family? The state steps in and takes your kids away from you, right? Someone else says, you're not capable of doing this. We're going to do it for you. What happens if you don't take care of kids emotionally? They're going to go off to a counselor or someone else, and they're going to try to seek, or they're going to seek out unhealthy relationships and try to find the emotional support there. But what happens when you're not there for your kids spiritually? God created us as spiritual beings, and so your kids are going to be searching for spiritual substance. They're going to be searching for that thing that completes them, for that thing that fills them up, because every single one of us is looking for that. And if you're not giving it to them, they're going to find it somewhere else. Because no matter what the source is, no matter what, where it's coming from, people are always looking for physical, emotional, and spiritual help. And if they can't get all three of those things at home, we're not doing our job. That's just plain and simple. So, we got some work to do, right? I mean, I'm not pointing the finger at anybody. Please don't think I'm just like, you know, sometimes when I preach, someone will come up to me afterwards and be like, man, you were talking to me, right? And I'm like, no, I wasn't talking to you. Just talking to everybody, just saying what God wanted me to say. But here's the thing. If God's convicting you about something, if God's telling you, hey, this is something I need to work on, then take it as from God. Don't take it as from me. I'm just one of the pastors here at Remnant. I care about you. I love you. But I've got my own family, and God's telling me the same thing. So understand that I don't point the finger, but I do say that if you're not doing these things as parents, as dads, as moms, if we're not looking after our families in this way, we're just not doing what God's called us to do. We're not fulfilling our primary job that God's given us. Everything else in life is secondary. This is your primary responsibility. Does that make sense? Awesome. So again, moms, I know most of you, if not all of you, work incredibly hard. You wear yourselves out trying to provide the best environment for your family. You serve your kids, you serve your husband, you serve your neighbors, your friends. I mean, it's like you have all this energy that's just constantly being tapped. And I just want to say thank you to you that are trying to live and do these things according to God's standards. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. And if there's something that I said today or God said to you, I don't want to say I said it, because if God spoke to you today and said, this is something you need to focus on, I just encourage you, don't dismiss that. Don't just be like, yeah, it was a good pep talk. But really consider what God's telling you. Really can take a close look at your life and your family and say, how can I step in? How can I lean into this more so that I can be a better, more godly example to my family. Cool? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you have given us these incredible examples of what it means to be a godly parent. And Father, on Mother's Day, I recognize that there are moms that struggle. There are single moms. There are moms that are just trying to make ends meet, trying to do the very best they can. And God, I just ask that you would fill them up and encourage them today. That they would recognize that they are on special assignment from you, that they are so incredibly valuable because of the role that you've placed them in. And I pray that they would be encouraged to know that you're right there with them and you want to walk through this thing called motherhood with them. And God, for our moms that maybe need a little boost, God, would you just today touch their lives and their hearts? God, would you do an incredible work in the families here? Wouldn't it be amazing, Father, if people said, look at that grandma, look at that mom, and how amazing they have passed on their faith to their family. If you're here today, and you're a mom, and you're just like, you know what, sometimes I do feel like I run a zoo. Sometimes I do feel overwhelmed trying to get to everything and do everything and always be the perfect mom. And sometimes it's just too much. If that's you and you just need God to touch you now, touch your life, and you just need to feel his presence and know that he's here for you and lean on his truth. If that's you, just lift up your hand. I want to pray for you. Lift it up. Anybody else? You want to do the right thing by your family. You want to live for God and you want to raise your kids and your family the right way. But it's challenging. It's challenging. You just need God to step in, give you the strength. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? God, thank you. Thanks for moms that love you. Thanks for moms that take their number one job seriously, the primary responsibility in their life. And I just ask that right now you give them an extra measure of your grace. God, this is a day where we honor moms, but sometimes, well, all the time, we honor moms, but then they still have to go and be moms. It's not like they get a day off. So God, would you just encourage moms and would you lift them up today? And would you encourage everyone here, Father? I know there is something for all of us in this. Would you be doing a work in our hearts? God, help us to be the people that you've called us to be so that we can have the families that you desire us to have, so that we can influence the people around us and change this world. We love you, God. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.